Hi, this is Vic Morin.
Hi, this is Neil Smith, and we're your hosts for NHL Wraparound Podcast. Join us for an exclusive virtual kickoff event for the 1990 Forever, a five-part series commemorating the 30th anniversary of the New York Rangers Stanley Cup Championship. It's going to be on Thursday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Zoom.
There are limited spaces available, so go to NHLWraparound.com to sign up.
Welcome to the NHL Wraparound Podcast, featuring Neil Smith, President, General Manager of the 1994 Stanley Cup Champion New York Rangers, and longtime ESPN NHL veteran Vic Morin. Together, they share no-nonsense opinions on news and issues around the National Hockey League. Whether you're a casual or diehard fan, each episode of NHL Wraparound will leave you more informed. Now, here's your hosts, Neil and Vic.
Hey, hockey fans, Vic Morin with a special edition of NHL Wraparound. Today's guest, the guy known as Big Walt, 500 goal scorer, Keith Tkachuk.
It's my pleasure to welcome to NHL Wraparound a great, great hockey player, but maybe even a better father, Keith Tkachuk. Keith, welcome to NHL Wraparound. Thanks so much for coming on our show.
Yeah, anytime, man. Good to be talking with you.
I wanted to start off with some thing. Eddie O is a friend of mine and played for our Stanley Cup team, and I know he's a friend of yours. And I see where he claims that he gave you the nickname Walt. Now, I just want to make, is he just blowing smoke, or did he really do that?
He's the guy. I will say he's the guy that gave it to me. Absolutely. It's all Eddie O. And, you know, I was 19 years old, I think, at the time. He said, your nickname's Walt, and that's it. And I said, okay. I said, okay, and it went, and then it just kept on rolling.
I want to move on to the Panthers, Keith, if you don't mind. I know you see a lot of the Panther games. I saw you there last year after your son's team, the Florida Panthers, had eliminated Carolina Hurricanes to the shock of many of us experts that didn't see them getting by Boston, didn't see them getting by Toronto, didn't see them getting by Carolina, And there you have it. And this was a team last season that struggled in the regular season after having a President's Trophy season the year before, and then woke up in the playoffs and had a great run. And it's been my experience that when teams do that in the NHL, a lot of times the year after they go to the final, they have a drop-off. You know, they think they're better than they are or something like that. But this club, the Florida Panthers, is actually better this year than they were last year. And I know you see a lot of their games, and I just wondered if you have, I know you have thoughts on why and how is this happening down there? Because they're right now on the top of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, great point though. Last year, I mean, they went through a lot of injuries, obviously making a big trade and bringing Matthew in, and then having some different injuries and playing in a really difficult division. It was tough. I mean, they had to go on a serious run from the All-Star break on, and especially doing it with the third string goalie, the Lion King there, who had a tremendous push there at the end and just found a way to get in and got a little bit of a help. And then went on that run and beat some, you know, coming back 3-1, beating Boston and totally, you know, beating up on Toronto. And then obviously the Carolina series was a little bit closer than you think, even though it was a sweep. I mean, they were all close games, and you know, they losing to a tough Vegas team, who was a better team. But then coming into this year, they had two guys that were missing significant time at the beginning of the year with injuries, with Ekblad and Montour. So that's your two of your top three defensemen out of the lineup. And you got to give Bill Zito credit. You know, he went out and added on to this team and probably made it a little bit better on the back end, bringing in Ekman, Larson, Kulikov, and Mikola, who used to play with us in St. Louis. So I think the identity is kind of, you know, is the reason why they're winning. I mean, they're playing a heavy, fast style, and they're pounding teams. And that's what they did to Toronto last year, and they carried it over to this year. And it's not just one or two guys. They're all doing it, and they got that pack mentality. And, you know, even in scrums, you look at them. somebody's in a scrum, all five guys are in there. And that's what makes a great team, and, you know, supporting each other. But you got to give Bill Zito credit, and obviously getting Stolarz in there. And Bobrovsky's been outstanding this year.
I wanted to pick up on that because this is certainly a team, meaning the Panthers, that's probably even cut right out of your own image. That, you know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago just about the series against Boston, and that they were probably the one team Boston didn't want to face because they're not afraid to get in the opposition's face, the same way you were when you were a player. So I'm certain that you have to really appreciate the kind of grimy, tough, get-in-your-face game that the Panthers have now. And it's certainly a club that nobody's going to want to see in the playoffs for that very reason.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think it's old school, and it's important to have that mentality, especially in the playoffs where, you know, against a team like for example, against a team like Toronto, who's probably more skilled, when you have a team like who has Barkov buying into the physical part of the game, who's an elite player. And I never really watched Florida until Matthew got there, and seeing how he plays he's a true one center. But you got Bennett, you know, you got Lusterana, and these guys are heavy players. Verhaeghe's a heavy player. Like, they got so many guys that play that style. And I think, you know, when you have that, other teams, you know, especially in the playoffs, the rink gets smaller. I mean, that's just the way it goes. The time and space, you know, get smaller. So you better have to be able to fight through these things. And they were willing to do that. And I think Bill Zito added on to that equation this year by adding some of the Mikulas and some of the Gadjeviks, you know, along with Ryan Lundberg. And they're just gotten bigger. And you got guys like Sam Reinhardt, who's got 39 goals this year. He's already dropped the gloves. But, you know, I'm not saying it's all about fighting, but he's not afraid to back down. So I think it's important that, you know, a lot of teams are starting to build their teams that way. And I think Bill Zito's getting a lot of credit from other GMs around the league of the team that he built. And, you know, it's still, they're in first place, you know, and they're there for a reason. And then they're playing, they got 11 or something game wins on the road, you know, consecutive wins in a row. That's hard to do, especially this day and age.
I wanted to ask about Matthew, because certainly that was one of the major trades, you know, well over a year ago. And we know how it has worked out for him in Florida, but can you share his initial reaction when he first got traded from a team that he was pretty well ingrained with in Calgary?
Well, yeah. I mean, he dictated that whole trade. He was very upfront with Calgary, who he had spent, you know, a lot of great seasons with Brad Treleving, who's a GM. And he just went to them and said, you know, we're not going to resign here long term. He had one more year left. And they obviously wanted to resign him, but he was upfront and said, I just don't want to do it. And so he kind of dictated where he wanted to go. And he felt in his age group and the age group of the Florida Panthers, what they could add, you know, going moving forward, that they were all going to be at that same age group to win together. And I think he felt like that was his best opportunity, you know, to play with guys like Barkov, Reinhardt, Verhaeghe, Bennett, you know, guys like Ekblad, who were all in that Lusterine and were all in that same age group. And I think that was the reason why. And then it doesn't help living in Florida too. And I don't know if you guys know Vinny Viola too, as an owner. I'm telling you right now, I've met him a couple of times. Incredible person, will do whatever it takes to win. And Neil knows, you know, being the manager of the New York Rangers, I mean, there is no shortage of supply. You get what you want. And if you're winning, they'll do whatever it takes to win. And that's what makes these organizations so special compared to a lot of organizations.
Matthew's going to be going to the playoffs for the sixth time in his eight seasons. And I want to shift the conversation a little bit to your other son, Brady, who for the sixth straight year will not be going to the playoffs. And you were a captain at age 21, and you made the transition from Winnipeg to Phoenix. And he's 22. And this season, he has undergone a lot of turmoil in the Ottawa organization, new ownership, new GM, new coach, a teammate gets suspended for half of the season. And he's such a hard on the sleeve guy. He's so passionate. And is there anything that you share with him in terms of just having to deal with turmoil and adversity?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's difficult being a young captain in the National Hockey League. It's even more difficult to do it in Canada where everything is magnified. It's every day. At least in some places in the U.S., you can hide a little bit. But, yeah, he does wear his heart on his sleeve. You know, we talk every day. I feel for the kid because he wants to do so well. And, you know, it's just been one thing after the other, like you said, ever since for a couple of years now. But they do have some pieces. It's just a matter of putting it together. And I just told him, you know, hey, all you can focus on is what you control on the ice. You know, you got other guys you can lean on to help you out, to do the stuff off the ice. But your job is to focus on the ice, do the best thing you can do in leading. But it's tough. It's tough. It's frustrating. I could see him getting really frustrated. He sees his brother and sees the playoffs and wants to be a part of it. And he's still a young kid. So, and a lot of their core players are all young guys. So eventually it's going to happen, but you have to go fight through this. This is a learning lesson, but at some point now with new ownership and a new manager, you're going to make some changes. You have to, and it has to be changes made to some of the core guys too, as well. And then bring in some leaders to help you, you know, guide you to the next level. But that's a tough division. You got, you know, the Panthers who are doing well, the Boston Bruins, you have Tampa Bay, Detroit's Toronto. Making a run. So Toronto is always going to be that team. So, you know, it's a tough division, but, you know, it's the NHL. Everybody, you have to find a way to get in there. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, they got to keep plugging away. They'll find a way in the next year or so.
You know, Keith, when I saw you last year in the coffee shop for that short time, I remember that what I said to you was, because it was such a, you know, we were coming right out of that four-game sweep, and your son, Matthew, had been such a huge part of the playoffs and the Florida success. I mean, every time you looked around, it seemed like he was in the middle of it, getting the goals, getting in the scrums. And I said to you, I feel sorry for your other boy, Brady. And you looked at me and you go, oh, don't worry about it. They'll be okay. Because we knew they had the young players, right? And I remember thinking about that after you said it and thought, you know, he's right. They do have such a good young core. They are going to, and I thought I would see drastic improvement this year with Ottawa, but I guess the controversy, the everything that's gone on there has sort of snarled their team development, I would think, because they've got a lot of good young guys.
Yeah, you guys said it earlier. I mean, they had lost a player to a suspension for 41 games, who Shane Pinto is an incredible young man. They lost a first rounder, which had nothing to do with these guys or the current ownership or the current GM. And it was just, you know, it's just a lot of controversy with the old owner. So there was just a lot happening. And then, you know, it's just, it's really difficult for these guys. I felt like they were dealt a tough hand, and, you know, they need to mature a little bit, but they're still a young group. They still have a kid named Tim Stutzel, who's an incredible hockey player, you know, and he's still young. What is he, 21? And then you got Jake Sanderson. For a lot of people don't know him, you know, if I'm picking the U.S. Olympic team on defense, he's got to be in the mix of making it. You know, and you got some guys who are in that 23, 24. Brady's actually 24, you know. Shabbat's 26, you know, so you and Jake Chychrun, so you have the pieces. Now you need to, you know what it's like as a manager. You got to make difficult changes at some point to bring in hockey trades. And I think eventually that's what's going to happen. And there might be a guy that's, you know, Josh Norris is one of those guys that's a young piece. One of those guys is going to, you know, going to be the sacrificial lamb at some point. And it could be Brady. No, but you have to make trades in order to improve your team. And when you have that many assets, you can't just keep bringing in assets. You have to turn these assets into, you know, players that can help you win and help you get in the playoffs.
I just want to follow that up with a personal question. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about this, that you and your wife are, I assume your wife is American like you are.
No, she's from Winnipeg.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, then that's sort of, that.
She's American now. No, Neil, she's American now though.
I was going to say that sort of changes the question, because really what my question was, on a personal note for a parent, you know, both your boys were drafted by Canadian teams. And my question was simply, how was that for you being an American and being one of the best ever Americans in my mind, at least in the 90s for sure. How was that for you to see both of them go to Canadian teams?
It was, I was fine with that. Even when I played in Winnipeg, I didn't know anything about the American Canadian or whatever. I just wanted to play in the National Hockey League. I couldn't wait to put on a National Hockey League team jersey and go play against guys that I grew up watching. So nowadays it's a little different. You see guys don't want to play here or play there. Matt did love Calgary. He really did. They had success up there. They didn't win the Stanley Cup, but he had success. They had success. But, you know, whatever reason why he wanted to leave, you know, he spent, I think, 6 years up there. So Brady loves the people around the team. He loves the trainers. He loves his group. You know, it's Canada. Oh, well, but it's a great, you know, a hockey environment. There comes a lot of pressure with playing in Canada, not just for Americans, but for all players. And sometimes there's so much on these kids, it's unfair at times. But, you know, Brady has no problem playing up there. He loves it. He loves, you know, the guys and the trainers and the environment. And, you know, he wants to take it to the next level up there.
Keith, I wanted to ask you, because you had some really successful years in Winnipeg, and then you make the transition to Arizona. And we're going on three decades of this franchise kind of being in suspended animation. Will they survive there? Won't they survive there? Will they or won't they get a rink? Is this market truly viable now that we're going on 30 years of trying to make this work?
Well, I think it's definitely viable. I got a soft spot for them because, you know, we had some good teams back there and we were downtown and we had buildings that were full. So will it work? Yeah. Now, I don't know the current ownership there. I don't know their relationship with the city, the state. So I don't know. Could it work? Yeah, I think it could work. But at some point, you got to say enough's enough. And when you have the union leader, you know, coming out and saying, let's get it going here. You know, there's something obviously wrong there and somebody needs to figure it out. And there has to be an answer. And I agree with that. It has to be an answer. Now, if it leaves, I feel bad for the people that invested a lot of time and you know, money there with the fans. But, you know, will it work? I think it will work. If it's in the right place under the right ownership, yeah, I think it would. I think somebody's got to get off their butts and figure it out and stop, you know, dancing around things and building relationships to find a way to make it work downtown. For me, that's, it will work downtown. But now I don't know if the current people there can make it happen, but we'll know sooner than later. And I think Gary Bettman must have a plan in, because when he comes out and says something, you know, something's going on. So I'm hoping, you know, it stays and they figure out a way to build a new arena and get that franchise back to where they're, you know, winning games and having fun downtown and getting a lot of fans in there.
I did some research, Keith, on the final Winnipeg Jets 1.0, you know, the guys that were on the original Jets team and who, of course, we all know that Shane Doan was the last original Jet to play in the league. And I think you were in the third last one. I think, am I right in saying Habib Boulin played longer than you? And then I think you were the next one after that.
I don't know who is left. I know Doaner was definitely the guy. I don't know who played. I retired in 2010, I believe, if I can remember correctly. So I don't know. I think Habib Boulin was already gone by then. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But Tempo Newman was there. Okay, then yeah, then he was last. Yeah, then he was second to last. Then I don't know who else was there. I mean, Chevadosky was a little younger than me, but I think he, I don't know, he must have over to Russia or something. But now we had some good players, some good guys. And, you know, back in the, you know, late 90s. So I'm hoping things get settled in one way or the other. But Shane Doan was an incredible guy. Awesome guy. You know, he's, you know, what you think of when you think Coyotes.
You know, every time I see Ty Domi, and I'm still very friendly with him, he's always trying to rub it into me. I asked you never to trade me to Winnipeg. And of course you call me and say, I'm traded to Winnipeg.
I'll tell you right now.
That's not really the way it went.
Neil, I was the happiest guy alive because we got Chris King. You know, we lost Eddie Olchuk, who's a dear friend of mine, but I was on an island by myself. We didn't have any toughness. So when we got those two guys in, I was sad about Eddie, but now I didn't have to fight as much with getting Ty Domi and Chris King in there because those were two tough customers. And we had Solani.
And
so you had
really
to protect them.
Yeah, I think, you know, those two guys too. Ty sort of used to wear out his welcome, you know, in certain places. And Kinger was a good teammate. Kinger was, He was like that in Peterborough. And the funny part about Ty and Kinger, they played together in Peterborough, and they didn't really get along.
Well, I'll tell you right now, they're two tough customers. Ty, you know, Kinger was like, he was a silent, quiet heavyweight. And Ty Domi is one of the toughest guys in the league because you couldn't hurt him. I mean, no. He wasn't very big, but he was strong as an ox. And he actually was a pretty good player, too. I don't want to say that to him to get his head any bigger than it is. But he was actually a pretty good player.
No, he was a good skater. He could. The thing that I liked about Ty is he could pursue. He could, like a lot of tough guys couldn't pursue. Yeah. And he could pursue you. And you didn't want him, you know, running at you. But,
well, thanks to you, you saved me a lot of... because they had, you know, Vancouver had Ojek and Calgary had Hunter and all these guys. So thank God you got we got Kinger and Ty up there.
Before I let you go, I got to ask you a question. Vic and I were kicking around earlier. Yeah. So the real Walt Tkachuk retired in 1981 after an eye injury that he got in 14 seasons with the New York Rangers. When he retired, you were 9 years old. You're born in 72. And did you ever see the real Walt Tkachuk play?
No, I haven't. It was, I was a Boston Bruin fan growing up. It wasn't like we have the TVs nowadays and the satellites and the DirecTV and all that. We didn't have that. So, you know, no idea. But everybody assumes that that was my dad, which I think is crazy, you know, because it's not a common name, Tkachuk. My dad's a, you know, a retired Boston captain fireman and a Marine. You know, so it's just weird after, and we're not even, the name's not even spelled the same.
No.
You know, his is D-U-K, mine's, you know, C-H-U-K.
Walter played for the Kitchener Rangers, and that's, of course, how he ended up with New York, because back in the days of sponsorship, when New York was sponsoring the Kitchener Rangers, but great, a real good player. I'm a little bit older than you, so I got to see him play.
Well, we have something in common. We also have Larry Plo in common. Larry was my GM in St. Louis and one of the nicest guys I've ever come across, one of the nicest GMs I've ever played for. So Larry Plo's another guy we have in common together.
And Wendy was a wonderful, wonderful lady, and Wendy Plo.
Yeah, we went to the Celebration of Life. She was an unbelievable person. She had to be married to Larry.
Well... I think Vic and I really appreciate you coming on here and spending some time, and hope to do it again. I mean, you've been great. You've been really great. And,
yep, I appreciate it. We'll get the boys on here one day. Brady can answer the questions for himself about Ottawa.
Well, if you could talk them into coming on, I mean, that's we would love to have either one of them or both of them or whatever. I watched that. All three of you together. That's true. I mean, I watched that ad on TV where your wife and the two boys are doing the car ad. I love that.
You know what the funny part is, Neil? I did a commercial with them. They still haven't aired it because I think everybody likes the one with my wife and then the two boys. And I think they wanted to extend that. So I'm like, hey, go for it. Please get them, keep them going.
Well, I hope you got a Hyundai out of it.
Hey, well, no, but we did get a, well, what parent hasn't gone through that with their kids in the back seat, especially if you have two boys? It was constant battles, and you know, I've been in the front seat. I handle a lot different than my wife handled it in the commercial. I can tell you that much. But it was funny. Every family goes through that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, thanks again, Keith, we'd love to have you and your boys and your wife and any of the Tkachuks are welcome on here anytime.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
And Neil, Keith and his wife will get a chance to watch both boys in action on Tuesday evening when the Senators visit the Panthers.
Yeah, that'll be quite a battle. And those two battle each other. You know, Keith, he was a tough guy, and his two little guys there, they were little. I say that because when he played, they were really little. Boy, they're battlers. They're instigators, and they're two of the better players in the whole league.
Friends before and after, but not during.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on the NHL Wraparound Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date on all the NHL action.